We're in the third chapter of James this week, so let's talk a little bit more about words. We'll start with Proverbs chapter 26, verses 18 through 19. Like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, "I was only joking." One of the most dangerous habits you can get into with your words is trying to dismiss them by saying, "I was just kidding. I was only joking." Solomon refers to that as shooting deadly arrows. You call somebody a derogatory name. You make an unflattering comment about somebody's weight or their appearance. You humiliate somebody with sarcasm in front of others because you're trying to get a laugh from the other people in the room. Or you say something online so people will see your comment there. Solomon refers to this as shooting the arrows of death at someone. And arrows, remember, those are long-range weapons where you can deceive yourself into thinking that because you can't see the damage they're doing up close, then it's less than it is. And this, frankly, is the mechanism behind gossip or being dismissive. It's not like you're yelling right in their face, and so it seems like you're doing less harm. Besides, it was a joke. That's the rationale for many of us. I was just kidding. Why are you taking it so seriously? And really, that makes it even worse when you follow up by saying, you know I was kidding. Because what you're doing is trying to shift the blame and the responsibility for any hurt that occurred from yourself to the other. The subtle implication being, if you're hurt by what I said, it's not my fault, it's yours. I was kidding. And so now I've not only slammed you for something, but I'm adding to it that your sense of humor sucks or you're too sensitive. So I'm rejecting responsibility and compounding injury to others. And this same type of dismissal happens when somebody gives the appearance of an apology by saying, "I'm sorry you took it that way, but that's not what I meant. I'm sorry that you got your feelings hurt." You're saying, "I'm sorry you took it that way." That's not an apology. That's a way of dismissing your own responsibility and shifting the blame to the other. And some of us, we don't use the phrase, "I was just kidding." We just assume that people know that we are. And so maybe you find yourself making sarcastic or snide comments to your spouse or your kids, your parents, coworkers, and you're trying to get a laugh, and whether you get it or not, the justification is you're just sure, "Oh, they know I'm just kidding. They know my heart. They know how I really feel." And you're rationalizing it in your mind, thinking, "They know I didn't mean anything bad by that. They know what I mean. They know I was just blowing off steam. They know that that's just how I get sometimes." And you may not realize that your words matter. And they have a cumulative effect, and slowly they spread like kind of a relational cancer. They're a toxin. You just don't know it yet because the other person maybe hasn't admitted it to you. But if you find yourself justifying what you say to people in jest or in frustration in the name of sarcasm, it's likely that you need to start tasting your words more before saying them. And I know this firsthand, by the way. To consider the weight, the impact of the words you're going to speak. It's sort of a creativity. What might this do if I say this? Slow everything down and consider, and I always use the phrase tasting my words before I say them, when I remember to, using the tool of empathy or compassion to measure what damage these words might do. To stop shooting arrows and to really get an up-close look at the real harm my words might cause. Here's another proverb. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And I want you to notice something here. He says a gentle answer turns away wrath. And the implication is that somebody's already said something. Jonathan pointed this out to me. He said that most conversations, most evenings that are spiraling out of control, that it's because of the second comment that is made, not the first comment. It's the response not the initial words. Very often it's how we answer somebody that we have the ability to either squelch the anger or just add fuel to it. But here's what we have to be aware of in ourselves, and this is really key. Whenever we're tempted to come back with an answer that is not gentle, and with an overly defensive response that serves only to stoke the flames, we will feel justified in our minds for having done so, because we didn't start it. The person who says the second thing, it feels justified. I didn't start it, but I'm sure as heck not going to lose it. I didn't pick the fight, but I'm not going to pick losing the fight either. So it feels justified in how we answer, even if it only leads to more harm, more hurt, more explosions, because we didn't swing first, but I ain't going to swing last. So when she says, as soon as you walk in, that the next time you take my car, I'd appreciate it if you didn't leave the gas tank empty. Well, there's a sense that I'm supposed to swing back at that if I'm not thinking. But what if instead I just took a breath and paused and said, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did that. That was not considerate of me. I left you a vehicle with an empty tank. That was selfish. I apologize. The impulse might be, well, I've got a list of your faults too. Or, well, let me share all the mitigating circumstances from my day to see if I can wriggle out of this guilty feeling. All of that is about the self. This is all primarily about me and my survival in that moment. So the words I'm choosing, I'm weaponizing my words because I feel like I have to defend myself. And it's probably important here to point out that arrows shot in self-defense do the exact same damage as those that are shot off to provoke. What if I just slowed down and apologized? No ultimatums, not just apologized and recognized my actions didn't go the way that I intended them to. And if I'm not thoughtful about it, I'm going to add damaging words. It's helpful to remember too, and the prayerful, ever-awakening mind has an easier time remembering this, that the second comment has the ability to drastically change the course of a conversation. There's a lot of power in whoever's responsible for the second comment. The course of a relationship with a spouse or a child, a friend, a coworker, a parent, whoever, pausing to remind yourself that you don't have to defend yourself, that you can be wrong or right but misunderstood and be just fine. And then continue considering that there's always more context that a gentle answer might reveal, but a harsh one will only further bury. So just pausing to figure out what it looks like to respond with gentleness, with a curiosity for more context, it does wonders. Let me give you another proverb. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And I don't know about you, but maybe you're getting the picture that the one who collected all these proverbs so many years ago had seen both the injury of war and the weapons of war and the injury of words, and he was having a tough time telling the difference between the two. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Notice that he doesn't say words have to be venomous or condemning to puncture somebody like a weapon. He just says they can be reckless, thoughtless, impulsive, inconsiderate, or words that we think are always positive, quick and witty and sharp. And that's where a lot of us find ourselves. We're not trying to intentionally wound others. We're just careless with what comes out of our mouth. And this is me very squarely. I still often believe a lie internally that I've got to be really smart and I have to be really smart as fast as possible, or somehow I'm going to suffer the disappointment of others, the rejection of others. Well, that gets me into so many bad spots with people because it's reckless. It goes too fast and with too little consideration, and it causes pain, which ironically causes the problem I'm trying to avoid, relational tension an injury when I was going for trying to make it so that you'd want to include me. You know, Christy, years ago, she would spend the entire day home with the children, very young children, and that's a lot of work. And then I walk in having been gone all day and I say, so what have you been doing all day? And I don't mean anything by that, but that phrase is loaded and it's reckless because it feeds right into her insecurity that she's already struggling with. and her exhaustion, what she's been doing all day. So it sounds like I'm walking in and saying that the house is dirty. What have you been doing? Laying around all day long? She feels judged. She feels unappreciated. She feels misunderstood, or like I'm not even actually curious as to how difficult her day has been while I've been out at the office all day. And so she expresses that hurt, and then I feel defensive because I want to be seen as the good guy, the super husband, and then suddenly we're fighting with the weapons of words. Wounds caused by the accident of carelessness, it sounds like it should be a lesser offense because it's unintentional, but it doesn't hurt any less if I accidentally step on your hand. And so, once again, being considerate, thoughtful, or higher sounding words like remaining contemplative and prayerful in as many moments in a row as possible. It's a way of slowing down and tasting our words and hearing them before we say them. It's not just nervous editing to keep peace because we're scared of people getting mad at us. It's the awakening conviction that my words can do harm if they're wielded without wisdom, without compassion. And you already know that this is true. You already know that this is true, that people can do all of this to you. And it's remembering that we're capable of the very same thing, but we're only going to make things better if we take seriously that it's only us who can control our mouth and make it so that it's more a dispenser of medicine than the barrel of a gun. So we slow down and we consider and we apologize a lot. And we say, I'm sorry. And then that's it. I'm sorry. I hope you'll be able to forgive me. I'm not demanding. There's no ultimatum. I'm sorry. And I hope that you'll be able to forgive me. We apologize a lot. We seek to prize de-escalating more than winning an exchange. And we embrace that our speech, and maybe now more than ever, in our speech, there's always the chance to spread love and peace or something else entirely.